Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, USDA had their say this morning, put U.S. corn ending stocks for the October report down at 619. That has all in the market a Twitter, and we're close to banging up on the December chart daily, the 50% Fibonacci retracement from, back in August to the lows that we made here in September. In which ways, and if possible, is this a game changer in how we're looking at the charts forward for a while?
Well, I think so. I think the fact that, I mean, the technicians will view the decline that we had, like in the corn market over the past couple of weeks. We lost probably a little more than 50%, but it was what we call as a test of support of the low. And the low was posted there on September 28th, right after the stocks report, and we had a strong rally for a day and a half. Then the market's kind of been dripping here going into the October crop report, and now the supply-demand tables solidify that 705 low as a harvest low. And now I think since we were able to take out the previous reaction high points that were made on October 4th or 1st, the trend now has shifted to sideways to higher. And you mentioned the 50% retracement level. We're a penny or so away from it on the lead futures chart. It comes in about 774 and a quarter or so, and so far our high has been 773. So these are going to be the 74 on the lead futures, and I think it's 77 on the December futures. These are going to be an important hard spot for December corn to go through. If December corn slices through those areas, then I think you can begin to talk about a run up to, you know, the 790-ish level. Mm-hmm. I'd even try the $8 level.
So there we have it on the corn side of the equation for now. Of course, fundamentally, we'd like to assume some demand, export demand,
well,
enter the marketplace.
The exports are going to be slow, and USDA did cut some exports, what they were thinking. But even with a 100 million bushel mm-hmm. cut in exports, you got to keep in mind that we're bringing in less ending stocks. That was part of the bullishness from the September report.
21 million bushels, yes.
And when you look at the balance sheet, it basically says that you're going to have to ration somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 million bushels of corn out of the feed and residual area. So that is why corn's up 30 cents. So, my guess is that's going to have to happen sooner or later, probably sooner. And this kind of has laid, I think, we'll see how we close out the day and close out the week. But it does kind of lay the groundwork now that we are going to try to go up to a level to start slowing feed usage demand. And then we'll kind of go from there, and we're going to learn a whole lot more, I think, in the January report. I think this year is going to be a year of volatile reports. I just, I think everybody's going to be, it's just going to be volatility in these reports from here forward, I think.
Turn our attention to the soybean side, where USDA added 1.1 million bushel acres to the mix and increased the BPA by 2.5, add 39 million bushels to the carry-in, and yet the bottom line only changed by 15 million bushels.
Well, the way we were selling beans over the past several months, it was obvious that export demand was stronger than what USDA had on the balance sheet. So USDA used that 200-and-some bushel increase in production and just basically gobbled it up in the increased exports, about 200 million bushels. They did increase crush about 40 million bushels. So the larger carry-in number, remember we had a larger stocks number on beans than what we thought we had. So we had like 39, 40 million bushels more carry-in, and then we had a production increase. So you would normally think that 250, 60 million bushel increase in supply would devastate the bean market, and it may in the long run. But initially here, when you look at the balance sheets, they still remain very tight. China continues to be a strong buyer of soybeans, still very interested in ownership of soybeans. So that's got beans, you know, rallying 30 cents here today. But the chart picture on beans is not as clear-cut and as bullish probably as it is in corn. So, you know, corn balance sheet tells us that we have a rationing job to do. The soybean balance sheet just basically says we have tight inventory, and if you're going to fuel a big rally in soybeans, you're going to have to start dinging up the South American crop. And if you'd start dinging up the South American crop, then the soybean market could be quite explosive.
So the soybean market, essentially a sideways affair waiting on South America or planting attempt.
Yeah, I mean, it's we are stabilizing. It does look like this $15 level is going to try to hold at least temporarily. Mm-hmm. But we did increase supply by 250 million bushels or a little bit more than that over the past 30 days. So that is a dampening effect. We do have very strong demand. So now it's pretty much down to South America if you're going to try to propel this bean market back to the highs.
Do you see here forward in either beans or corn some sort of cash-led rally?
Corn's going to be very tight. I mean, corn market is going to be a processor market. I mean, that's ethanol. Export demand is so weak that the river markets are really not even going to be in the picture as far as a bid goes. So I think all of your cash bids are going to be driven by the processor, and of course that's only going to be the case if it's profitable to process. And we already know that ethanol margins are negative in some areas, and we're starting to see some ethanol plants close down. We'll have to see how that all plays out over the next few months. But it does look like, you know, we're going to have to ration demand 400 million. Either it's going to have to come out of the processor or it's going to have to come out of feed. And we do have a mandate, so there's an element that there has to be so many gallons of ethanol produced. So it's going to be pretty much a processor-driven market. And, you know, Central Illinois is one of the shortest areas of cash inventory
supply. Gotta run, Dan.
So